The New York State Writers Institute is having their sixth Telling the Truth in a Post-Truth World event this afternoon. There will be two panels taking place at Page Hall at the University at Albany downtown campus. The first at 5:30 will be the future of the Democratic Party. The second will be the future of the Republican Party at 7 p.m. featuring Timothy O'Brien, Marsha Barrett, and former Congressman John Faso. At 5:30 will be the future of the Democratic Party featuring Congressman Paul Tonko, Charlotte Alter, and NBC News's Chuck Todd. Chuck Todd joins us for a preview of the event on the roundtable this morning. Chuck, thanks very much for being with us.
Happy to chat.
We look forward to having you in town later today. This event is called Telling the Truth. We're still coming to terms with all of this, aren't we?
We are. I mean, look, we have as I joke, our information ecosystem is, it's as if our drinking water and our sewer pipes merged into one big pipe. And it's basically up to you to figure out how to filter out the bad stuff and go find the good stuff. That's not a good way to have an information ecosystem, but that's what it is right now. And there's a lot of bad actors. There's not a lot of manipulators out there. It's like any sort of, we're still in this new technology stage, I think, even though it's not a technology, but with social media, where every new media that we've had has had a phase where it was manipulated. And it's always early in the process until people figure out safeguards, people sort of enhance their own BS detectors. I think the older you are, the harder it is for you to enhance your BS detector. The younger you are, I mean, I take some solace in the fact I got two Gen Zers, one in college, one a senior in high school. And I'm impressed with how much they're able to filter out the silly and filter out, I'll just give you one example really quick with my son who, he's like a lot of 17-year-old sports fanatics. So he gets a lot. And he said to me, oh, that Mike Tyson slap in the face during that was staged, right? And I said, of course it was. And he goes, my friends think it was real. And I said, well, I'm glad to know you've got the professional skeptic gene in you, and I think that that's still the stage we're in, right? Our information ecosystem is completely broken. Legacy media doesn't know what to do. New media is building up and bad actors are all there too. And I think we're not there yet. I hope we can get there sooner rather than later.
So let's just take a story like the Matt Gaetz story as an example. So the president-elect announces that Matt Gaetz is his choice to be the attorney general. Mm-hmm. And then we find, of course, these stories have been around for a long time, but there is an investigation in regarding sex trafficking, and so forth. So then after days and days in the media cycle, he says finally yesterday, okay, I'm out. And now we're back to square one. So how much of that is a game? How much, like, where should our BS detector be on all of that?
Look, I think it all depends on where you sit. I'll tell you what I wrote publicly, said publicly, and believed publicly, which was, I'm an Occam's razor person, right? Which is the simplest explanation is usually the explanation. The most logical, the simplest, the less conspiratorial. And when you look at everything, at all these different things that Gaetz was doing, this had all the whiff of a fake nomination. The timing of it was perfect in stopping that ethics report from going public. And then all of a sudden he withdraws just when the ethics report is likely to end up public as they saw that senators were going to compel the report anyway. Pieces of it were already leaking out as it was. So I do think that as journalists, I think that, and I guess I would argue that I have the experience covering Trump to know this is a potential outcome and this is a potential motivation. And I do think, frankly, it is the responsibility of those of us with experience to point out this possibility. They're going to deny it. I think the beat reporter's job is to, you know, cover what they're saying, but you know, always have a little skepticism in there. But let other experienced people point out, well, this may not be what it seems to be. I mean, I think that's the world we live in. And Donald Trump doesn't live. He lives in a very manufactured world. And I think you have to acknowledge that he lives in this very manufactured world. Because as I always like to say now, I have to cover politics as it is, not as I wish it were. And I feel that way about the information ecosystem. Do I wish my sources were honest? But I know there's a lot of dishonesty among the sources I deal with. So you have to reflect that in the reporting. You got to let your readers and viewers know, hey, guess what? We're not 100% sure this is accurate, but we have no choice than to report the best that we can tell you.
How do you think overall the mainstream, and I'll let you define that however you wish, the mainstream yeah. press corps did in covering this election cycle?
I always say this, the media is only as good as its sources, and the sources are garbage. That's the real problem here. You know, I think mainstream media did as best as they could. But, you know, there's all sorts of challenges that the so-called legacy media has, including resource crunches, decisions by publicly traded companies to essentially shrink news divisions. There's no doubt there's a revenue problem for digital and print organizations. And so I think that you know, those are just the realities of what we face. But, you know, I think the reporting, I don't think you should be surprised by the results of this campaign if you followed legacy media. And I don't think, you know, so in from the grand scheme of things, I think legacy media portrayed this campaign as honestly as you can portray it.
So when you have Mika and Joe going to Mar-a-Lago, is that a story worthy of discussion?
I you know, if a TikTok influencer goes to Mar-a-Lago, is that a story worth discussing?
No, not in my mind.
Okay. And I don't think they're not journalists. They're influencers. They just, you know, I think we've always had, we just didn't give them that name before.
Right?
Talk show hosts. But basically, Rush Limbaugh was an influencer. Joe and Mika are influencers. Sean Hannity's an influencer. Rachel Maddow's an influencer. But they're not really reporters. And they're certainly not Joe and Mika. And maybe, you know, maybe you could, Mika did. Joe's never been a reporter.
No.
I don't think he would, I don't know if he calls himself a journalist or not. I'll just be honest. I've always been a little, I last appeared on that show in 2016. I just didn't think it was a good place for a host of Meet the Press to appear on. Just because of how partisan it could get at times. But like personally partisan, it was just I also don't think I would be hanging out on TikTok as a moderator. I mean, you know what I mean? I just don't think that's the proper role. So, you know, they went for their own personal motivation. I believe the reporting. I think they were worried about retribution, and he has some personal, you know, Matt Gaetz did represent the same congressional seat Scarborough did. So,
right.
There's a lot of shared history between the two.
So let me ask this question. Do you think then that other mainstream or even legacy media, even yourself, that there is a time or should be a time for reflection of how this incoming administration is covered when it comes to, as you'll be discussing this afternoon, telling the truth in a post-truth world?
Oh, 100%. And that's, you know, I think, and by the way, you know, again, I go back to the beat reporter's job, the job I had at Meet the Press. You cover politics as it is. If you want to change it, go be an activist. You know, if you want to go sign up with one of the political parties, go run for office, go ahead and try to be an influencer if that's what you want to be. But there are those of us that, you know, that simply, you know, I think need to get information out. I will say this, I think the most important focus for media today, and I do think this was an improvement overall in the coverage, which is cover what he does, not what he says.
Mm-hmm.
so much. What he says, these are all distractions. Matt Gaetz and Steve Bannon, all their rhetoric is a bunch of garbage. It's distraction. It's designed to do what it usually does, incite the progressives to act silly in response, right? And to sort of go over the top in their anger and create these ridiculous, you know, Overton window shifts that allow, you know, frankly, allow some, you know, less popular things skate through without attention. And I think that's what, you know, you gotta figure out how to tune out the noise. You know, Trump is a genius at creating chaos, because within the chaos is a real agenda. And, you know, there are really effective, you know, Stephen Miller is very effective at implementing policy, basically while the noise is muting reporters' attention.
In covering it and doing your job, do you find it exhilarating, exhausting, or both at certain times?
Well, it's stopped being exhilarating in the last few years. I mean, I think since COVID,
yeah.
You know, it's been a big challenge. I think it's been demoralizing. I'm not going to sit here and say it's been a joy. I've personally had plenty of success, so I can't complain about certainly my own personal career, but it's, you know, this is a slog right now. Washington isn't working very well. The country is hardened in its polarization. I mean, the idea that people want to call this a landslide or a decisive victory when it's decided by as few, you know, a percentage point and a half, a couple hundred thousand votes shift and you move. You know, we are hardened now. This is becoming calloused, and that's a concern. And then you throw in the intentional actors, right? Like an Elon Musk is not interested in truth, and Elon Musk is interested in muting those who question his work or the professional skeptics, which I think a good journalist is a professional skeptic. And there's no doubt there is an active campaign to delegitimize mainstream journalism. It's been a frustration of mine that we don't know how to fight back on this. Roger Ailes started this war after he worked in the Nixon White House 50 years ago.
Right.
And he started a cable channel to personally character assassinate certain members of the press corps. I was one that Sean Hannity regularly attempted to character assassinate at O'Reilly. Whenever I'd say something critical of Roger Ailes, that's when it would happen. And it wasn't just me. It was a lot of people that they would do that. And we never fought back, right? Because if we fight back, it looks like we're like participating in the partisan warfare. And you know, we let this 50 years of attacks essentially, put us in the position we're in today, which is a very weak and less relevant mainstream press corps.
NBC's Chuck Todd will be part of Telling the Truth in a Post-Truth World event, which happens at 5:30 this afternoon at Page Hall at the University at Albany. The future of the Democratic Party will be a panel discussion taking place at 5:30, followed by another panel called The Future of the Republican Party taking place at 7 p.m. You can find out more information by going to NYSWritersInstitute.org. Chuck Todd, I look forward to seeing you at the event, and thank you so much for being with us. I really appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks
so much. Again, you can find out more information by going to NYSWritersInstitute.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.